good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Whenever you're listening to this, we're just so happy to have you joining us in this space. This is the Deeper Podcast. If you're new, welcome. If you're returning, we're glad we haven't driven you away yet. I'm your host, Austin Slater, and joining me today once more is Pastor Dan Kinnis. Dan, welcome to Deeper.
Yeah, thank you, Austin, and good morning or good afternoon or good evening to anyone who's out there listening with us.
Yeah, how's your week been, Dan? Has it been pretty low-key with spring break starting?
Yes, my kids are off. My wife's off from work this week, too, so it'll be a different rhythm this week, and it seems a little quieter on our streets in our neighborhood and even at church here as well.
But
yeah, still a good week. Looking forward to Good Friday and Easter and those celebrations. So,
absolutely. Well, glad to hear that. Well, in case you're new here, what we normally do on Deeper is we go deeper into the sermons from the last week. If you missed this last week's sermon or you want a refresher, you can listen to the sermon on Spotify or the whole service on YouTube. But in case you don't want to go to all the extra trouble of doing that just now, Dan, could you give us a brief summary and refresher on the content from last Sunday?
Yes. Yeah, Austin, we were again in the Gospel of Mark. That's where we've been spending our time during the season of Lent. And as we've been getting closer to Easter, we're getting closer to the cross. And so really, this last Sunday, we were in Mark 14 and 15, and the text of Jesus' arrest and then his trials before the Sanhedrin and Pilate to when he's finally being handed over to be crucified. And there's a lot of material there, and we spend a lot of time just reading the text. But one of the things that really stuck out to me and that we highlighted along all those stories was the contrast between Jesus and us as human beings. And just the injustice that's happening, of course, to him, and just the brokenness of humanity. And then on the other side, you see Jesus, who is going to the cross for us as human beings, and his faithfulness. And so that was really, well, even just the goal, I think, of that message, just to highlight Christ and to see his faithfulness, even in the midst of all this brokenness. And yeah, there's a lot of things. I'm sure we'll touch on a couple of them here.
Yeah.
But it's a very powerful text just to listen to.
It really is. Well, and it felt like a lot of it focusing on, you know, Jesus has all this power, and he could have used all this power in ways that we think he probably should have used all this power, and yet he kind of just released that. And that was a really cool, it was the power of service and the power of self-sacrifice, which I thought was really, really cool to notice all throughout that entire story.
Yeah. Well, and of course, yeah, the Gospels all tell it a little bit differently. Different details come out. In Mark's Gospel, Jesus' testimony about himself before the Sanhedrin, when he's point blank asked by the high priest, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" He says, "I am." And then he quotes from Daniel and Psalm 110, basically to say, "I have all the authority. I am the Son of Man, and you're going to see me coming on the clouds and sitting at the right hand." And yet, like you said, he's laying that all aside for us. And it's just not the way things typically go in the world, or even personally for us. We just don't, we're not quick to set aside advantage or power in our lives.
Well, and that kind of segues perfectly into a question I had. 'Cause you made a few points that really stuck out to me. One of them being that while everyone is trying to prove their power, Jesus sets aside his power for us. And then with that, earlier in the service, you said that while everyone is protecting our own interests, Jesus is focused on protecting God's interests. And that kind of got me thinking of ways that I personally focus so much on my own interests, so much on my own power. Personally, one of the areas that I'm working on, but it's connected to social media, it's connected to how many people saw or liked this post, how many people commented, where is my voice? And protecting the power and influence of my voice. And that's something that I've got to work on. But I was wondering if you have any thoughts about how we as Christians, as a larger body, try and build up and protect our own power and interests rather than relying on the power and strength of Jesus.
Boy, there's a lot to talk about there. I because it is a human problem for us. And a lot of times we do need to protect our interests, you know, personally and look out for ourselves and that. But I think there's so many ways that we don't even see how we might be sometimes just steamrolling each other or as a group steamrolling someone else or another group just to hold up our own interests or to maybe exercise our power. So maybe I'll start personally. This is something we've talked about even in our denominations a lot, and that is the abuse of power. And that starts in a position like my own. I'm in a pastoral role, and there's authority that comes with that. There's power that comes with that. And I've wrestled with that. I've been in this kind of role now for over 10 years. And personally, for me, you know, when I came into the role, you know, I don't see myself any differently, if that makes sense. You know, I'm just Dan. And it was hard for me to come to grips with people are going to respond to me differently. There's going to be a different feeling maybe when I come into the room. In some ways, I'm still wrestling with that, but I have to be aware of it. Right. What I say in my role, what I do in my role, because of that authority, has a different weight than maybe just what I do or what I even did before I was in this role. There's a different weight to it, and I have to consider that and consider the way it impacts other people. And I know I don't always do that well or thoughtfully enough. And so there's just that on a personal and even very local level within the church with different authority roles of, you know, might be elders and deacons or even some of the teaching roles in the church. You can go out from there, of course. One of the topics I know we talk about is even on a larger scale, like a national level. You know, we talk about the trials and going on with the Jewish people in the text and the Jewish leadership there and kind of protecting even the national interests, of course. And they would have, I think, said this is some of the reason that we got to take Jesus seriously in a negative way, because he could cause us trouble nationally. The Romans could really come down on us. And even Caiaphas says in the Gospels, you know, it's better for one man to die for the nation, right, than for the whole nation to perish. And I think it's in the Gospel of John. And John kind of adds a little note there saying he didn't realize how prophetic he was being, probably not thinking on a spiritual level. But there's a lot of ways I think we want to protect our power interests, even as a Christian group. And maybe in this country, that tension we feel in the political realm of, and I get it, we want our side of things, our way of viewing things, our doing things, to have sway and have power. And I am not wise enough to know all the intricate answers for how that should play out, but I know we should be aware or cognizant of that dynamic. And I think of also how we see Jesus as we see him setting aside power and going about this in humble fashion. That should inform the way that I am speaking or seeking to maybe have power from my point of view. I certainly want other people to believe in Jesus and and come to follow him and live for God in that. But how do I go about that? How do we go about that as a church or even as a larger body of Christians in this country or around the world? Like I said, you might, I'm sure you do, Allison, have plenty of thoughts about that too. But it is, again, I think it's one of those topics we at least need to be thinking about and seeing how we are acting or maybe how we aren't, if we're really going to address how we're going about it. And so I think the conversation's good. We probably can't address it all here in our short window, but I appreciate thinking about that and looking at it individually and as a larger group.
Right, and well, you've got to keep all scales, you know, in mind, that personal and that national. And so I really appreciate your insight on that and just looking introspectively and trying to emulate Jesus no matter what level we're dealing with.
Yeah, and how can you not be struck when you see Jesus and the way he goes about that? It's so easy as a Christian who's believed for many years in Jesus to say, oh, yeah, of course, he's going to the cross. This is what he had to do. Like, and not just to take the measure of what Jesus is doing. God coming down and setting aside his power for people like me and you who have just said, oh, we don't want anything to do with you. We want to kind of do our, we want to be the gods. And yeah, in our cases, we would have said probably like, well, we're going to make you, we're going to enforce this, or we're going to punish because you're not getting along. Well, and, you know,
even Peter, you know, going as far as like, hey, I'm going to cut off the ear of this guy.
Right.
You know, because now is the time to do it. And now is the time to, you know, bring about that rule when Jesus is so subversive of our expectations.
Right. And that's where I think in general, especially in the Gospels, and we're really encountering Jesus, but in Scripture as a whole, so often, and I do this too, we approach Scripture looking to back up ourselves, if you know what I mean, back
yes.
up our own points.
Yes.
But first and foremost, Scripture, just like you said with Jesus, should subvert us, should cut us to the heart and say, Dan, you need to think about this. How are you going about, for instance, like you said, the authority you've been given? How are you using that? Right. Are you lording it over like the world does? Or are you going low like Jesus does to serve and to, you know, go about this in a humble way? Or it could be a lot of other things, right?
Right, just, yeah.
You know, the way we're living our lives and relating to each other and relating to the Lord. Mm-hmm. So I think that word subversion, you see Jesus going in a way we don't expect when we encounter him and when we encounter the word, that should be the norm for us, right?
Right.
It should be cutting us, uprooting some of the comfort we have in our lives and even just even our following and discipling of Jesus. So,
yeah, thank you. Well, hey, as you were saying, we covered a lot of texts. Mm. Not today, but on Sunday.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And I was just wondering what else would you like to highlight from the text? Because there's so much good stuff there.
Yeah, I know. And it's hard with all the different scenes. I think, and we, of course, brought this out, but only in short measure because we were covering a lot. But that scene with Barabbas has always just fascinated me. And I think it's really, in recent years, too, just come home even more powerfully. I know you and I talked about it in some of our discipleship conversations, too. But just that transaction, if you can call it that there, of Barabbas being released and Jesus being convicted, boy, that just hits home. He's dying in his place. And I think that in my own learning and being taught by others on this has really driven it home. In Matthew's gospel, the early manuscripts say his name is Jesus Barabbas.
Mm-hmm.
And so the contrast comes through very clearly. Barabbas, Bar Abba, meaning son of the Father. So you have Jesus, son of the Father, Barabbas.
And Jesus, son of the Father.
Yes. And it's like, which one do you want? And humanly we choose, oh, give us the guy who kind of is doing the things we like, you know, kind of our patriot and the one who's got the sword and is fighting back against
right.
Rome.
Right. Well, and we, in our context, we look at Barabbas and we're like, oh, he was this zealot. He was this insurrectionist. He was, you know, very murderer. He was this very negative guy. But when you look at it in that context, he was insurrecting against the Roman occupiers.
Yeah, he's a hero.
Right.
For a lot, right? They, you know, the supporters would have been there. And I think we would do something similar in a lot of ways. You know, we certainly as citizens, we have heroes, soldiers in this country, and a lot for good reasons often, right? They've sacrificed a lot. And so it's not a stretch to think, oh, yeah, it wouldn't have been hard to see. There would have been a lot of support for someone like Barabbas who's taking action. And here we have Jesus who is not putting himself out that way. He's not fighting the Romans. Even that week had said, you know, yeah, give to Caesar's what is Caesar's, you know, and that might have rubbed a lot of people wrong. He's already a little beat up because he's been beat up by the Sanhedrin and the guards there. And I mean, he's probably not looking the part either as someone who's kind of this one who's going to fight in the way that was expected.
Right.
And then, yeah, so I mean, it's just interesting to see that contrast too.
And that's, again, that subversion of our expectation and the expectation of the Jews when Jesus did not come to be this, you know, freedom fighter in the traditional sense.
Right.
But, you know, subverted our expectations, took on the nature of a servant.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, the Isaiah 53, it's all there. There's a reason in the New Testament you hear that passage a lot. But it makes sense to me. Again, humanly, you have to understand it's easy to look back and say, oh, how could they miss it? Or how could they, well, if we're being honest,
we would have missed it.
And especially when you're there and you're basically enslaved, you're captive to the Roman Empire, this pagan empire who's got no interest in following the Lord, who probably makes fun of you for doing these things and your customs and all that. Well, here comes Jesus. If you're a follower, you see his power. Well, this must be. Why wouldn't he overthrow this pagan empire? And for some of us living in the West who have a lot of freedoms religiously, it's hard to understand what it would be like to be under that kind of oppression and thumb. There's others around the world who might even listen to this who say, oh, we know very well what that might be like. And but for us, we don't know. And the expectation would have very much been, and understandably been, yeah, this is going to be the liberation in this way,
right,
militarily, so to speak, and
mm-hmm.
let's get it going. Let's do it. And not to think about our sins and the spiritual freedom we need first and foremost.
Right.
And that's the evil that needs to be dealt with in all of us. So yeah, the Barabbas piece is fascinating to me. And I think there's a reason. You could talk about how the Gospels all record different details. That shows up in all four. And I think it's remarkable when that happens, you know
there's a reason that's there.
Yeah. Just like even the incident with, you mentioned, the servant's ear. I believe that shows up in all four as well. Different details. But you just, you note, oh, yeah, this was something they thought was noteworthy and consistently got passed down. In this story, the one interesting piece, too, is this young man who flees from the arrest scene. And there's been lots of wondering. He runs off naked, as the text puts it. And a lot of people wonder, is that Mark, the author himself? And we don't know. There's no indication. Odd anecdote, but it shows, for most of us to, leave our clothes behind would be a big deal.
Right.
So to say, that's how concerned this person was for their own
skin. Well, and especially
skin,
in the Jewish world, we've got problems with indecency and public indecency as modern Christians, let alone, I believe part of the whole Mosaic law was that, even if you're suing someone, you could not take their cloak because that would cause them to be left indecent. So there was even limits on how much you could take in a legal lawsuit for the sake of indecency.
Yeah.
So the fact that this guy just runs off buck naked,
right,
that's really telling.
Right. He was more concerned about protecting his hide, so to speak, from the Roman or the arresting soldiers than the shame of being that way. And that's a good point, because even when Jesus is going to the cross, there's a note in Mark that says they put his own clothes back on him. Typically, they would crucify you naked. But there's a wondering historically if being aware of the Jewish sensitivities, this was actually a nice action by the Romans to say, yes, we understand you're very sensitive about these things, and so we'll leave at least a little clothing here on this person who's being crucified in Jerusalem. But you could think of the story of Noah, right, after the flood when he has a little too much to drink and he's lying naked and the one son comes in and looks on him, but the other two go in backwards and cover him up. And just even that sensitivity. So that's a good point. And I think highlights how, for this young man, the fear of that moment and getting out of there, just like the other disciples did too. And again, easy to look back and say, like Peter did, I'm going to stand strong. But then when it comes to it, hard to live up to our words. And even credit to Peter, and that's, we can just touch on this briefly, but Peter goes further. He's in the courtyard, he's following Jesus, but that leads to an even, you could say, more dramatic fall in his denials. Going that further distance, it's even highlighted more. And there's a lot to think about there with Peter and even the church afterwards and the reinstatement of Peter and how they would have even talked about that, what happened there. I think it is, he goes further, and because of that, there's an opportunity for an even a bigger and more bitter denial and fall there, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, Dan, thank you so much. As always, I so value this time to just learn more, learn new things, ask questions.
Me too.
We hope that this is a great learning opportunity for you as well, dear listeners. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that this has been a blessing for you. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, thoughts, things you'd want us to wrestle with, please feel free to shoot them to me. My email is aslater@friendshipcrc.org. We always love any opportunity to engage more with you all, so we look forward to hopefully hearing from you. And we look forward to seeing you all again next week. Go in peace, dear friends.